He was preaching down off of 3rd and Main as I was passing by. He was talking kind of crazy, warning us all about the end of time. So out from the crowd, I just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know, you'll never know just how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. Cause I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell and back again. I was almost out, I was at my end, but then love stepped in. She worked downtown at the halfway house almost every day. So much time on the broken and the poor, and she just smiled at me and said, I'm not who I was before. The day that preacher told me about his amazing love, I was lost and alone, and the lights came on, and hope set my heart free.
Something to prove, 'cause I have walked for miles and miles in that same pair of shoes. You refuse forgiveness like it's something to be earned. Sometimes pain's the only way that we can learn. You can never fall too hard, so fast, so far that you can't. Never too late, so bad, so much that you can't change. Who you are. You can change who.
torn down, the stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall be no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. From age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's rushing grasp. His saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of your justice burn.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon on a 23rd of January, 2014. Welcome. Family, things are going, well, depends from perspective. In the world, not going good at all. They want to make the world look bad as long as they can, religion. That's not hard to do. In order to bring in the new, you got to make it look bad. It's called chaos brings order. It's a dialectic. They present the chaos and then they have the order. That's how it works. They, in fact, produce literally the disease, virus, whatever it is, the pollution. They produce it. Blame it on nature, blame it on mutamidon, Timbuktu, Elmer Fudd, flew in, whatever, you know, whatever they come up with. It really doesn't matter. They produce it. They create it. And then they've already created a solution, a cure, an upgrade, or whatever it is. Because they've already anticipated what's going to be used up by it, what's going to happen with it, how far it's going, whatever the results are of the reaction. And then they can predict using certain type of formulas as to when the population is going to react. And then they'll say, ah, but we have found, you already had it all along. Let's get more dramatic about it. You have 1 million children missing every year. A million children. Yet nobody really analyzes where they go. And when they do, they come up with some study and everybody says, oh, a study, there must be one. No, they're not. They're just doing a study to placate the American population. But we have a solution. What's the solution? Put the faces on milk cartons. Oh. Well, we collected five kids. We found five kids in the past to give some kind of figure because of the milk cartons. Okay, five out of 1 million. Oh, okay. No family. They are kidnapping the children. They're using them for satanic sacrifice, as a fact, in various, almost all the holidays, using them as human incubators for their Nephilim, for their wombs that they need, have womb will travel. And the other things they use the children for, I don't really want to go into right now because it gets really over the edge, but it's actually true of what to do with the bodies. I think if you do the research, you'll find out. I don't want to talk about that right now. You have in this world, in all the governments, literally, a Luciferian satanic ownership for the time being. It's not going to last much longer. And even the Luciferians and the Wicca, the witches, they know that day's coming. They know there's one specific day of where they're going to have a helter-skelter. The felons that are being released from prison, that's going to be your police, and it's going to be worldwide too, by the way. They know that they're told, that they will have carte blanche in the population once the order takes control. But here's what they're not telling the felons and the street gangs controlled, or not controlled, but it's set up by Charles Manson from prison. He's there for his protection. He's there for his job through possession and channeling, overshadowing, to organize the street gangs nationwide. Do the research right now while we're talking. The number of cell phones has been confiscated from him. They keep sneaking in cell phones. He's coordinating. The Aryan Nation from the Christian Identity cult group never really brought Charles Manson into their organization. However, he still coordinates the Crips, the Bloods, the KKK, all the street gangs. He's a coordinator. He gets supernatural instruction. Oh, you're not going to like this. But he gets supernatural instruction because of his link with Lucifer being possessed and killed. In the same way that the Jesuits, the popes, do, all three, the black pope, the gray pope, and the white pope, and the world leaders, the president especially. Now, these are all facts. It's all supernatural. The supernatural using mankind as nothing more than mere slaves to enslave the rest of the population, or so they think. Now, I know I don't start off real gentle in my broadcast. I just don't see we have a lot of time. I feel an urgency. Haven't felt in a long time, actually. And you know, sometimes right 15 minutes before I get ready to go on air, Sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. Sometimes I put down broadcast for, well, 23rd January 2014, and I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I just let the Holy Spirit guide me in what to say. And when I start, something starts grinding in my head, and pshaw, there we go. And I'll just let her fly. That's kind of how it works. And it has for 4 years. Every time, always the same thing. Every broadcast, everything I've written, everything I put out there. You know, I have on my website, watchmanforjesus.com, I have a little bit about me, but it's not about me. People are going to say, because I'm not internationally known, nationally known, any of that stuff, I'm a little guy, I'm a nobody, here in a little old town called Mount Airy. I'm just tell you right like it is. I can't tell you I'm somebody, I'm not. I've got a lot of experience, but then so other people can say the same thing. I have on my website a little bit about me, because the only reason I have it there is because they're going to say, well, who's Thomas Gamble? What the heck does he know? Well, you got an idea. There you go. And you get an idea how it is and move on. That's the only reason I have that there, because this is not about me. You know what it's about? It's about bringing the truth. And the truth about Jesus Christ is the bottom line. That's all it's about. And to expose, just like my Facebook says, Watchman for Jesus Facebook, is to expose specifically how Satan has people divided, separated, brought together, and his agenda. I know what it is. And the only reason I know what it is, because I've studied it. And anybody can do that if they would and connect the dots. But when you start becoming anti this or anti that or pro this or pro that, your credibility kind of goes down the toilet. Because that means you're going to support that group or you're going to go against that group. That means you have a position. Your position is set. I'm anti-Mason. Well, then that means my credibility for the truth would be null, because that means I'm anti. If I'm anti-Christian or anti-Islam, it's null. I am pro-truth. I'm done. That's it. That's it. You know? I'm just pro-truth. And I use facts. And if I have an opinion, I base it on a conglomeration of facts. Then I come to an opinion that's established from collecting the facts. That's the only way I operate. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to jump into it today. Tonight, I'm going to go over a little bit more about spiritual warfare that we covered last night, and more specifics. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about and go over what we talked about, managing aggressive behavior. I hope I get there. We'll see where it leads me. What are these funny noises coming on here? Anyway, so I'll be talking about that today. Did you ever hear that funny noise? What is that? Oh, I know what this is. Oh, man, these computers drive me crazy sometimes. What did we ever do without computers? What did we ever do? You know, I was going through my boxes the other day, and that's where I found, you know, these glasses I hadn't had when I was a Marine lieutenant, a little runny-nosed lieutenant back in 76. I got these flight glasses, these sunglasses that they don't even make anymore. I couldn't find a part for it if I broke it to save my life. Well, I was going through these boxes, and I found a cell phone. And this cell phone is bigger than a hand-carried phone almost. You can imagine how old that is. I bet it doesn't work. Okay. I could take it to the Smithsonian Institute. Maybe they'll buy it. In any case, I'll dedicate the broadcast. And I got a load of stuff to tell you today. And I just had an epiphany just about before the broadcast. And, oh, boy, I got to unload on you. I just sat in here about 5 minutes before I was getting ready to go on. And I read something. And 1 second, I said, oh, my gosh, the lights went on. I'll explain that here as soon as in a few minutes. Lord, we thank you today that, Father, we can come before you in prayer. As, Father, we have our broadcast, we thank you, Lord, the way you move things around, the way you make things happen. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us guidance. And we thank you most of all, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. And, Father, for that, we lift up to you our sins, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins, Lord, and to keep us straight and narrow, and convict us when we fall away. We thank you, Father, for the conviction and for the chastisement that you give us when we do fall away. Father, we thank you for the trials and tribulations you give us that makes us stronger. Father, we thank you for your holy word and your prophecy that tells us what's going to happen. That, Lord, we thank you for divine appointments where we can spread the gospel and for strengthening our own faith. For this, Father, we thank you. Lord, we lift up to you our brethren. We lift up to you our family members. That, Lord, we need that Holy Spirit, that supernatural, to override these chemicals, override these flu vaccines that's been used to destroy instead of help. That, Father, many don't know. Many are deceived by the deception that's going on today, which is rampant. Father, we call upon you, the Holy Spirit, to give us the right instructions, the right knowledge that we need to help with our family members to get better and get well, that their minds will return back to them, that their bodies will be protected for at least, Father, the time that they can be able to repent and, Father, or to lead others by their being in the bed or being in certain conditions, that, Lord, that they'll be able to help others to go to Jesus. Lord, whatever your will be done. We call upon you, Father, protect our soldiers as they come back. Lord, that they have this post-traumatic stress going on, the pills that's put into them, the vaccines that's put into them. Lord, that you set divine appointments that will lead them in the right path, in the right direction. And Lord, to keep and turned away by divine appointments, that you keep them away from the Hinduism and all these fake religions, that Lord, that you will lead them in the right path to no religion but to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only Savior of this world. And Father, we call upon you, Lord, that you'll protect those children that, or at least some relief, get some release that's being kidnapped for these wicked trials and wicked sacrifices and these things going on, Lord, that your Holy Spirit power will rescue some, Lord, that your will be done, and those and families will be comforted in the times of missing children. And these things we pray, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, you can count on one thing for sure. As you ask the Lord to help you forgive others, Satan knows your prayers. He hears them. He's going to send people your way. It's going to push your buttons so you become angry. The idea is to watch it carefully. It's not easy. Sometimes you let pride get in the way or ego. But then again, when you are trying to care for other people and help them, they'll also take advantage of that. So you got to know when to walk away and just shut down and move on. You can't just sit there and let pride take over somebody of something they're already convinced otherwise. You have planted the seed. Let the Holy Spirit water it and move away. Keep moving on. Because otherwise, they will use that to interrupt your study, interrupt your thinking, interrupt your life. And even though you may seem like you're winning, you're not. You're losing because you're redirecting your attention to convincing someone of something that they're using that for a weapon. State what you got to state and move on. Interruptions are going to come fast and hard. You have an economic reset that people are talking about everywhere, and you got the racket denar, you got the reset of the Vietnamese dong or something, Chinese, this, that, and the other. China becoming reserve currency. China owns, 250 foreign trade inside the United States. In the 60s, man, they were worried about alleged missiles in Cuba. What a joke. And the Kennedys said, you know, almost thought the same thing. There was no clear cut missile in Cuba. It was a lie. And they, by quote from JFK himself, said that they had, in fact, take the word of the CIA that they couldn't see it themselves. See, the history books aren't telling you the truth. I got a quote straight from FDR. FDR, yeah, that's a rascal. From JFK. That's all, folks. JFK. And the history books aren't telling you the truth at all. Now, some of you already know that. But, you know, Castro was a 7-year Jesuit. He was. Robert Kennedy said, this brings me to a point I'm going to make, and I'm not just going back to the Kennedys and all this and all that, but I'm letting you all kind of in on an epiphany I come up with based on facts, where my epiphany came from. And it has to do with this. A quote in Robert Kennedy in his memoirs, he says, quote, the Central Intelligence Agencies, which are really a bunch of Nazis, by the way, literally, the CIA was formed through half of Nazis that we brought over in 1945-46 time frame, Operation Paperclip, created the CIA, you know. And then about, 46-47, listen, they brought Hitler over. You understand this? And he died in 1960-something. 65-66, Hitler died in the United States. I tell you what. Anyway, he was Roman Catholic too. Hitler was second cousin to Stalin, Churchill, and Queen Elizabeth II, and Hitler were all second cousins. They were all family members. Kerry and Bush against each other? No, both skull and bones. See, I got testimony from Anthony Sutton confirming that they pretend to be against each other while all the while they're lying to the American public. What are they? They're Rosicrucians. They're skull and crossbones. They are high-level secret society members. They're Luciferians, just like Bush, Buchanan, Clinton, the whole lot of them. Just like Queen Elizabeth, Beatrix, it goes to the Islam. A lot of them are 33rd degree Freemasons. Saddam Hussein, Milosevic, you got it? Tito, son of Churchill. They're all fakers. Y'all getting the point here? Getting the idea? What's really going on? Well, here's what Robert Kennedy said. Quote, the Central Intelligence Agency made a formal presentation to those in attendance at a White House meeting on the Cuban Missile Crisis by showing them photographs taken at various missile sites in Cuba. Robert Kennedy later wrote a book entitled 13 Days, in which he commented on these pictures. He wrote, I quote, I, for one, had to take their word for it. I examined the pictures carefully, and what I saw appeared to be no more than a clearing of a field for a farm or a basement of a house. I was relieved to hear later that this was the same reaction of virtually everyone at the meeting, including President Kennedy, unquote. Robert Kennedy. Where's the quote? Well, you'll actually find the quote on 13 Days, a memoir of the Cuban Missile Crisis, the New York American Library, New York, 1969, on page 24. Go find it. Or not. Whatever. You see, that was a very trying period of time in America's history. Because that was the second attempted military coup for the monarchy to bring us under their control of a colony, which is what we are. We have this facade that we're a country. Yeah, we do. Since 1789. Actually, 1783. The facade is that the American president is the most powerful man in the world with a finger on the nuclear trigger. That's a lie from hell. It is absolutely legally false. Not true at all. The president has no power whatsoever to declare any military action unless it's authorized by the Vatican. And that was the purpose of Billy Graham when he came around as functioned, financed by Randolph Hearst and Rockefellers in 1949, 1950. 1930s, 40s time frame was when the Rockefellers then started funding religion to control it, i.e. Billy Sunday, who was one of the greatest evangelists America ever had, living out of his car. Literally. Until the Rockefellers said, hey, this guy's pretty good. Okay, so they started buying him his clothes. They bought him a house. They introduced him to mayors and governors. And now you know the downfall of Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday, inspired Billy Graham. Yes. And they funded Billy Graham. Billy Graham did the right thing for 20, 30, 40 years. And I've shown you how now he's told, okay, Billy, now you need to turn and head toward the new age. And he has. With his own quotes. That's how they do it. Hook you and crook you. He's a 33rd degree Mason. Every doggone one of them. And they're lying to their fellow Masons too. I know that sounds harsh, but it's all true. What's the point? The point is, y'all been lied to. Now's not the time to get all depressed and all that sort of thing. Now's the time to pull up your bootstraps and start learning the truth. And the truth is contained in the King James Bible. Because it's going by the book. This idea of the Cuban Missile Crisis had more behind it than people realized. You see, then the United States actually negotiated with the Russians. And remember, they're all working together anyway. The facade is that the presidents are in control, prime ministers, whatever. The facade is that the intelligence agencies, according to the movies, all work against each other. That's why it's top secret, this, that, and that. Top secret is to keep it away from the public. The Secret Service agencies, all of them, work together as a family. All of them. In every country. In concert with each other under the control of the Illuminati. So the president cannot make any major decision or choice without checking first with the Vatican and the monarchy. Because we're a colony of England today. That's the point. Israel. British Israel. Write it down. Look it up. British Israel. What it really means in British Israel. It's a colony of England. Canada. You're a colony of England too. Australia. You're a colony of England too. Britain. You're owned by the IMF and the Vatican. Yes, you are. Your kings and queens and princes and all these are some of the most evil individuals on the face of this planet. So is Bush, FDR, the whole lot of them are Luciferian. I got quotes. Especially from FDR. That just will curl your hair. Now you all can get mad at me if you want to. And you all can run away if you want to. But that's not going to change the quote. It's not going to change the fact. It won't change it one little bit. You see? Now, moving right along here. The United States negotiated with the Russians, and the outward appearance was to remove the U.S. missiles from Turkey. And they were aimed at Soviet Union. And to negotiate if they would remove their missiles from Cuba. So this was the outside negotiation. They actually wanted to start a Third World War. But ahead of time than what the Illuminati really wanted. That was trying to sink the USS Liberty was part of. It didn't sink. It wasn't time yet. The Israeli jets, you know, that commander of the ship, the American ship, should have just ignored. He lost his job, but he should have ignored the president's order. LBJ, he's a piece of work just like FDR. Oh, I'll get to him shortly. And he ordered the U.S. Navy ship back I'm going to tell you right now, if Israeli jets, who cares? Israeli jets are attacking one American ship. I'm going to tell you right now, you'd lose your job, but I would have no doubt told them to turn off the radio, full steam ahead, launch the planes, and sink those two Israeli jets to the bottom of the ocean. I wouldn't let them escape either. Sunk them. Take them out. Oh, he wouldn't have a job when he got back. But that would have been the result. It would have been the right thing to do. They're fake Jews over there anyway. The real Jews are in hiding. No, excuse me, in protection. They're called the 144,000 of the Hebrew Israelites, the real Jews, the ones that have the real DNA of the 12 tribes of Jacob. Carried. Well, they know who they are. They know exactly. And Hitler tried to find them. The fake Jews in Israel really want to find them too, because that's the tribe of Dan, the synagogue of Satan's there today. The Star of David is pagan. Look it up. Hexagram. Family, this is a Luciferian agenda all the way around. But you know, if there was no Soviet missiles existing in Cuba, there'd be no bargaining chip to use for the removal of U.S. missiles from Turkey. So it was necessary then to create a crisis in Cuba based on some alleged missiles on the island. But that ruse didn't fool everybody. There's one very astute man that figured it out. It cost him his life, among other things. And one of the Americans who felt that the American government had actually created the Castro movement, later imposed the Castro government down upon the Cuban people, was President John F. Kennedy. And according to New York Times, on December, if you look up the magazine, I got a copy of the article, on December the 11th, about a month after he was assassinated in 1963, President Kennedy gave an interview in which he was quoted before he was assassinated. The article came out December the 11th after he was assassinated. But before the assassination, he gave an interview to New York Times. He is quoted as saying, quote, "I think we have spawned, constructed, and entirely fabricated, without knowing it, the Castro movement." And he was assassinated about 3 weeks before the Times printed that interview. And three other great men who really cared for their people were also assassinated by the governments, by the Jesuits, by the Freemasons, the highest level, in that same time period. Their names were Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., and Malcolm X. Now, I certainly don't agree with Malcolm X's theology and his ideology, but I don't care. He really cared about his people, and he really told the truth. That's why the Boulay Society, the blacks' equivalent to Freemasonry, took him out. Same thing for Martin Luther King, a great man. And Bobby Kennedy and JFK. Now, that leads me to my epiphany, sort of. That period of time, after JFK was killed by the government and the CIA and mafia and whoever else, Bush knew all about this too. That's the most evil family on the face of this planet. Going back to Samuel, 1915, part of the generation of the War Industries Board, the forerunner of the military-industrial complex, as warned to us by President Eisenhower. See, some of these presidents waited to the last minute, or in some way would try to warn the American public because their conscience got to them. But some of them didn't have they didn't have the courage to speak out during their administration. And for obvious reasons, McKinley did, Lincoln and JFK did. Oh, I know Garfield did, but he wasn't a good guy. He only was just mismanaged. He was hard to handle, hard to manage, and he was just a very brash individual. So they just killed him anyway. Oh, there's more to it than Garfield, but they didn't kill him because he was a good patriot or all this, that, and the other at all. Tried to kill another one, Andrew Jackson, 3 times. Andrew Jackson was a character, but my problem with him was how he treated the Indians. But nevertheless, he did defeat the Illuminati by balancing the budget. And he was the last president in our history ever, and the first one, actually, and the last one. He was only one. That would be that, wouldn't it? That actually balanced the budget. When they said that Bill Clinton, and I got the figures of Bill Clinton's administration on like 10 or 12 programs where they said they cut the budget and all that. Hey, they're a liar. They increased it. And I got the actual figures. Whatever. Anyway, following JFK's death, I'm leading up to the epiphany I had. Now, for y'all, I may not see it so great, but for me, it just blew me away. This is from what I've learned before. Following JFK's death, now, look at what really happened after his death. We'll tell you part of why he's killed. After his death, one of the worst presidents we've ever had, LBJ. LBJ coming out of our Texas, by golly. Well, what happened was the Dimona nuclear, oh, by the way, Carter's no better. So don't get me wrong here. Georgia, North Carolina, wherever, don't make any difference. They're all Luciferians and controlled by the Vatican. It's that simple. But when JFK was killed, after that, early in 1964, the nuclear reactor then went critical. See, Kennedy tried to stop it. Israelis, oh, they're involved in the murder set of JFK, too. Yeah, man, everybody got on the bandwagon for that. The Dimona nuclear reactor went critical early 64, right soon after. And that event elicited no reaction from President Johnson, none whatsoever. They raised no objection to Israel continuing nuclear weapons development. After all, it's essential that they have the nuclear reactor in order to foment, coming down the road, World War III yet to happen. That's what it's all about. It's the tribe of Dan, the synagogue of Satan in Israel. That's preparing themselves. Three, that's been planned since 1873. Oh, I got the information here. I mean, the plan's already been written down by Albert Pike. And I could read it to you. Well, actually, I can. Right there it is in front of me. World War I, World War II, planned by Albert Pike in a letter he sent to Manzini, dated August the 15th, 1871. And he outlined, envisioned 3 world wars, followed by an unparalleled economic disaster. And he was a high-level Freemason, highest level. He founded the Christian Identity, KKK, with Nathan Bedford Forrest, as the antagonistic group to help bring about the continuation of the slavery of blacks up to 1958. And then the Freemasons, Jesuits, planned after 100 years or more. Finally, the Civil Rights Movement was planned like a century before. Y'all following me here? What I'm telling you is massive. You're not going to find it in history books, but it's all facts. They wanted to start early the nuclear war in 64. They wanted to start early the New World Order. But they were jumping ahead. The tribe of Dan was jumping ahead of the Illuminati. And they weren't allowed to. And God made sure of it, too. God ain't on their side. God's on the side of the Revelation, the book of Revelation. He's not going to let nothing happen until the word of God is preached in every corner of this earth. That's what they're all forgetting about. They all really think that they're in control. Man, they're not in control. God is. He's allowing them enough rope to hang themselves. But enough rope, however, from his point of view, from God's point of view, to give them opportunity to repent and humble themselves before him. That's really what it's been extended for. But as soon as JFK was killed, then they launched the Diamondor nuclear reactor because Kennedy was holding back on it and was going to keep him in check. The next thing that happened, major military aid to Israel started in LBJ's fiscal year 1965. Now, we're getting close to my epiphany. He turned it to a flood of financial support in 1966. Remember, 1966? A writing in 1984, Stephen Green said, quote, America has given Israel over $17 billion in military aid since 1946 in the fake Israel. And virtually all of which, over 99%, has been provided since 1965. Keep these dates in mind now. Don't forget them. I'm getting around to it. Now, Kennedy's plan was withdrawal from Vietnam. Oh, yeah, there's another reason why they killed him. It was reversed by Johnson a few days after the assassination. Now, y'all sort of getting the idea? And the months after, the American commitment was increased from under 20,000 troops to approximately a quarter of a million. And this was a time period that did start the four stages of destruction in the United States, and the degradation of the U.S. military started in 1966 and ongoing until today. For now today, they've induced post-traumatic stress on your troops. They've causing them to commit suicide by technology, microchip implantation, and suggestion by RLF technology. That's been proven. And that's why I'm down on these Joint Chief of Staff as a bunch of cowards. Because they're part of this. They're part of this. I don't know if they give them a lobotomy at Lieutenant Colonel. I have no idea. But something happens to their brain when they get up in the Pentagon. They may take a blood oath. I don't know. But they lose it. They become Luciferian for some reason. And they're brought into the Council of Foreign Relations to brief them, to help the enemy and the council. Oh, I got evidence for that too. They've caused every war. They've fomented, carried on every war that was planned before 1873. Each generation of Illuminati and Jesuit orchestration all the way through has planned every war as laid out by Albert Pike in 1871. Connect the dots. It's all there. Now, the autonomy of the CIA included the covert action branch. It was preserved. And also, the Kennedy Wars against organized crime. Organized crime was under control of the Jesuits and the CIA, by the way. It came to an immediate and sudden halt. Protecting others and J. Edgar Hoover, his FBI empire. The Golden Triangle in development continued and, of course, increased because of not only from South American drugs brought in by the CIA from Guatemala, Nicaragua, Mexico. Now comes in from Vietnam. The drug smuggling, money laundering, human trafficking, addiction to American youth continued space. So, in short, international intelligence agencies acting in concert with the international organized crime rings displayed in the JFK assassination affair and their immense capabilities for controlling the course of history by using the Hegelian dialectic. They're doing it today. And then if you start doing more research, you get deeper, you have what's called the Permandex. Very, very secretive. CIA, Mossad, Israel, all that. They go back to the banking families that Carol Quigley, Anthony will talk about in detail. You see, it's all Luciferian. And I ain't got to my epiphany yet. I'm just laying the groundwork. It's a real simple one, actually. But the dates are very, very important. The 1966 date is extremely, extremely important. Now, all that being said, here comes the second part. The second part is right down that name, 1966, 65. Now, if I can find this quickly, I should have had it ready, but I didn't. Sorry about that, family. But now, all this has everything to do with today because there's nothing changed. Not a darn thing has changed. They just go from one stage to the next. If it fails, they readjust, reassess, and they go the next step. If they have a problem, they institute a false flag of some kind. They assassinate somebody. But the goal is a one world order. And they do it in stages. And they have a certain window of opportunity that they have to adhere to. Or they got to wait for another century. Or another 500 years. Or another month or something. Because God only gives them a certain window of which to activate their actions by supernatural means and sacrifice. False flags, energy generation, all that must happen a certain period of time. Or they can't do it. They got to wait for the next portal to open or the next event that they can set up. That's why they can't make mistakes. They're the ones releasing the truth in certain areas today. But only what, that's why they use Assange for and your Snowden. He worked for the CIA. And their real purpose, Snowden especially, was to finally tell some little nitbit trivia CIA secrets, which means nothing, to actually confirm what they say in the news anyway. That's what he's told to do. And then here comes the snag. You know what the, not the snag, but the real hook. You know what the hook was? About UFO and aliens. You know why that was? Because they're getting ready for disclosure. To announce to the public that America, the world, and so forth are working with aliens. But they can't do it yet because people aren't ready for that. So they got to check it out with the population to see if they're ready to receive it. Otherwise, it'll fail. So they could come up with TV, with movies, all this stuff to mess people's minds up, science fiction. All this is all planned to manipulate a race. It sounds crazy, don't it? But it's all true. Every bit of it. When you break out of this matrix and you start seeing the truth for what it really is, you can't go back. And your world gets really small because you can't carry on normal conversation. You can't read these worthless books that Hannity and Jones talks about, all this stuff, because it's like it's all Walt Disney. They only tell you the surface, the icing. They don't tell you what the cake's made out of and where it's really coming from. They don't even tell you who made the cake. They just talk about the icing, what color it is, texture, how much sugar is in, you know, and all that. But they never tell you the real insides of that cake, the conspiracy, who's really involved, like your Alex Joneses, these guys. They'll never talk about the Knights of Malta. They'll talk about the globalists. They never tell you who they really are. And then you call up, I know, and you ask them about, well, tell us about the Knights of Malta. Boy, they go high and to the right. Because they don't want to talk about that. They're not supposed to. In 1966, now I can't find what I was looking for exactly here. I thought I had it written down. There was a major supernatural event that was going on in 1966. Now, those my regular listeners, you know, I've talked about these fallen angels that are coming as aliens and all that nonsense. But they're really fallen angels, sons of God of the Old Testament. the hierarchy, the community, the great white brotherhood. These are all the fallen angels, the sons of God of the Old Testament, same ones. Took the daughters of men, etc. They control this agenda. But they're under control by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will only allow them to go so far. Our sin and our turning away from God allows them much more latitude. What do I mean? When they start approving, when they start using the laws and changing the laws to allow same-sex marriage, changing the laws to allow drugs to be used, changing the laws about that's going against God's action, whatever it is, don't matter. When you start changing the laws, God starts stepping away from the country. That's when we're in a whole lot of trouble. God ordains all government. Mankind don't have the knowledge nor the wisdom to exchange one government for another. Never has and never will. God will. But you have to have government. So how do you change government? There's remedies there, but people have ignored the remedies legally. The other way is to humble ourselves, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's the answer. But your leaders aren't following those instructions because they're Luciferian. Am I being harsh today? Unmanageable? Well, anyway, I'm going to get around to Hebrews 4 shortly. It's all tied into this as well. It's all supernatural that controls everything else. Now, I'm closing in on this epiphany I had. Because that 1966 time frame is very, very critical. It's a major change of our country in 1966. To keep us busy, to downplay, downgrade, eliminate, start the elimination of our military forces began in that year. First of all, in a four-stage process. The liberalism took off. The target of military personnel coming back took off. The degradation of our sovereignty and all everything else took off that period of time. Took off means it increased. Now, notice JFK, who was the alleged president. Of course, we know that the president's powers is really a facade. Well, Kennedy was going to challenge that. I'm president, says it on paper, so I'm going to go ahead and exercise the president's powers. Oh, no, Kennedy can't do that. Why? Because we explained to you why. The Vatican controls it. No, it says in the Constitution. It says I am... See, they couldn't challenge him because if they did, the people would raise up and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, what are you doing? So they had to go along with it. So all the presidents were in the same bloodline family and went along with it, except Kennedy. He's going to say, I'm president, I'm going to play like it. You understand? So it's all a facade, the power of the president is a lie. Your lawyers, your judges, your congressmen, they get up there, explain to the truth, and either fall in place or they die, or a family member will die, or they have some kind of a setup to where they lose something, get fired, or something like that. That's exactly what happens. It's called the black book. I've given you all that definition before, and it works. But 1966, they had a major supernatural event take place. By the fallen angels in that period of time, that year. A major spiritual regeneration of an evil force began in that year, according to the Illuminati's own writings and texts. In that year, many sacrifices were used to bring in, to move to the next level. Well, now here's the point. President Kennedy ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. That was his history. That was his background. That was his theme. was to really be a patriot. And so what happened was, the companies, the people, started following the president to have a sovereign attitude, a sovereign hooray for America and all this sort of thing, including CEOs of certain businesses and companies had made pledges that they weren't going to work with or trade with the Soviet Union and other Eastern Bloc countries because they were following the president's example. You see? Because he was in the country for real. And people were following his example. That's why he had to die. They wanted support of the people for the kill the commies, even though the commies were created by the Vatican. Nobody told them that. They didn't tell the Vietnamese that. Both soldiers on both sides fought for nothing. The Vatican is the enemy. The secret societies are the enemies within and of themselves, of their own people. That's the enemy, the Druids. Order of the Black Sun. Oh, they don't like that. You see, that's the enemy. They're not people aren't talking about. The way you control people is by war. You create enemies. You cause them to fight each other. You sit back and pull the strings. You pull the strings, they dance. Chaos, order out of chaos. If they don't have an enemy, no problem. You make one. Or you create a religion. Or something like that. That's how it's called the dialectic. Y'all ever heard me talk about that before? I guess you have. But you might think at this point that what possibilities do we have? About what? About winning? You already won. What's the problem? They've already lost. It's impossible for them to win. That's why they're trying to instill fear into all of you all out there. No, they've lost at the highest level. So they must take control by causing fear in other people. And the population. The ones below actually believe they're going to win with knowledge and force and power and control and all this, but it's impossible to happen. They won't. They will fail. That's why the word of God will be preached in every corner of the world, earth, the world, in order to give everybody the opportunity. Even the ones that God knows are going to turn away, he still gives them the opportunity. How about that? He still gives them the opportunity, even though he knows that they're going to fail. He knows they're going to turn away. He still offers them the opportunity. Isn't that something? His son died. Jesus Christ, God incarnated, human flesh, died for those he knows are not going to accept him as your Savior. But he's dying for those and rose again for those he knows will. Yeah? Every individual is important to him. We're all sinners. But every individual that's ever been born is important to him. He wishes that none should perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he gives them all the opportunity. So nobody can say, I never had an opportunity. And that opportunity will be flashed before their eyes at the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment. Those at the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be some to be in shame, didn't use what they had. But at least they made it by fire. Shall we say down here by the skin of their teeth? Born again but didn't use what they had to the utmost. but they at least were born again. That's very important. But in 1966 was a major spiritual outpouring in the supernatural realm. And that year, boy, things kicked out fast. Now, to go back to JFK, the example he set for Americans then was real catchy. And here's what happened in 66. Like everything else I told you about Dimona, about increasing the troops into Vietnam, about he's going to back our dollars with coins, silver. He's going to get rid of the Federal Reserve for real. It was too soon to do it then. That's why they had to stop. And a lot of it, man, he's just going to disassemble everything. Well, going back to World War I, even before, the Rockefellers made $200 million in World War I. And they're part of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Illuminati. All right, now watch. The money that the Rockefellers gained control of the media was in 1921. J.P. Morgan used money to control the media in 1915, according to congressional records. Well, then when J.P. Morgan, when they formed the Council of Foreign Relations, it passed from him to the Rockefeller. And that's when they took over at Council of Foreign Relations, 1921. So, that being said, and the media perfectly controlled up till even today. The TV and the news and all that's worthless, except for local news or something. Anyway, with money, you see, the Rockefellers gained control of the media. Congressional records confirm that. With the media, then the family gained control over public opinion, because everybody believes the news. And with control over public opinion, they gained control of all the politics. And with the control of all the politics, they took control of the nation. That's how it worked. That's not my epiphany yet. The UN runs the whole show. Or those nasty commies will blast us all to bits. That's the story. That's the dialectic. Their plan, going back to even 1974, this is a year after Nixon tried his takeover of the U.S. government, as he was directed to bring the colony of America back under control of the monarchy. It's failed every time. Now, you have insiders in the government that are trying to keep it from happening, but all of them secret societies anyway. Don't matter who wins, it's all corrupt. So the Rockefeller contingency plan number two was to be used, what they had, in the event the American people will not be persuaded to accept the surrender of the U.S. forces, U.S. New World Order. So if that doesn't happen, it's what they've run into all along. They had several steps planned. Step one was a massive media campaign, brainwashing the public into abject horror at the thought of nuclear war. All your kids, now, when the alarm goes off, jump under your seats. Then they had the explosions in Nevada, spreading nuclear waste all over the United States. And you're worried about Fukushima? Ain't about Fukushima. All they're trying to do with Fukushima is lie about it. And then they're going to try to fake it, make it look like it's the Calvinist end of time scenario. See, there's your poisoned rivers, your poisoned sea. See, we're already in the sixth seal, sixth trumpet. They can't make up their minds, and they're all a bunch of liars. And they're using the media to bring horror to everything. And then the 1960s with the threat of nuclear war, was it not? What's it today? Islam terrorism, FEMA camps, Agenda 21. They just keep, and it takes, it's like they pull the rabbit out of the hat. What's it going to be today? Well, I don't know. Let's put around the world. Let's put about Nibiru. It's going to hit us all and kill us. Okay, we'll put that out for a while. What else? Well, we ready for the flu vaccine yet? No, we're not ready for that yet. Oh, okay. We're not ready to have kill off 4,000. 4,000 people? How many? 5, 6? Y'all take a pick. Went 6,000 killed this time? Yeah, who? Anybody can say, who? Oh, yeah. 5,000. Okay, we'll do 5,000 next time. Have died from the flu. Y'all going to get this out? This is how they do it. Well, step two was to increase the Soviet military muscle. That's to give some credence to the Soviet claims of nuclear power. Step to make certain the U.S. armed forces were not permitted to advance technologically. Development of new weapon systems was forbidden. Existing armaments were allowed to just rust. Our chemical detection systems, I know for a fact, were subordinate to Eastern Bloc countries in 1991, 92, 93. They did not detect the incoming nerve agents that was being, they were substandard. The Gulf War syndrome was a design disease. A virus was designed by our own scientists, as was HIV in Fort Detrick, Maryland, to start taking down the U.S. military. Step four was to win congressional approval for the Soviet CFR, their planned disarmament scheme. This goes along with the Iron Mountain Report. What was approved wasn't disarmament at all. It was a proposal to arm the world government police force by taking weapons from the United States and giving them to the United Nations. They implemented step one through three. And they're trying to implement disarmament. It's been lasting this long. They haven't accomplished it because God is in control. You know the CFR's James Warburg? He declared to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee about 50-some years ago, 60 years ago. It stands today. We will have world government, whether you will or not, by conquest or consent. I got news for them. They haven't read the King James Bible, because that will destroy their world order. Now, here comes my epiphany. All that being said, you thought that was my epiphany, didn't you? Nah. 1966, after Kennedy was assassinated and America was in a patriotic fervor and the CEOs of military industrial complex was going to boycott Russia and Eastern Bloc countries from any trade because of this patriotic fervor. Because you see the VC, well, get to that later. In a second. It's going to be, I'm going to finish this off real quick. Here's my epiphany. As a result, and I found a different investigation. And all this happened in 1966. But something else happened in 1966. When the patriotic fervor that followed the president, when he was really taking control, had influenced the American public by one man acting that way, Kennedy, the State Department had to counteract it. And they set up the Korean War to fail by allowing the communists to take over Red China. By stopping Chiang Kai-shek, they blockaded Chiang Kai-shek's 500,000 forces in Formosa, crossing over to Red China with 500,000 men to take over Red China. The State Department stopped it from happening, as ordered by the Vatican. Well, being said, in 1966, after Kennedy was assassinated, the State Department issued a letter, a pamphlet, to all businesses under the military-industrial complex that was going to boycott the Soviet Union and Eastern European countries. Because, you see, the VC was receiving 85% The VC was going to receive 85% of their war materials from Russia and the Soviet bloc countries. And the VC, the economies, were incapable of supporting a war. So the communist arm of the conspiracy needed help from the financial capitalist arm of the Jesuits. The United States financed and equipped both sides of the Vietnam War, killing nearly 55,000 of our own soldiers. And y'all was kept from it, from knowing about it. I know that in Kosovo, for a fact, the MPRI, working with CIA, had advisors on both the Albanian terrorist side and the Macedonian forces side at the same time. I know for a fact because I was there. And when the Macedonian forces was closing in on the Albanian terrorist group in the Macedonia one night, they had to airlift 17 MPRI American advisors from the Albanian side that night to Bonstil with Apache helicopters. They had to move them out of there fast. Why? Because the Macedonian forces had MPRI advisors with them in Sarajevo. And the terrorists that they closed in on, they put them on school buses and sent them back to Kosovo. Let them go. Yeah, you know. Yeah, buddy. We have fomented, by the orders of the Vatican, every single war since 1897, and always have worked both sides. Major General Smedley D. Butler, "War is a racket," is what he wrote in 1932. Family, it's not about the country. It's about a Luciferian agenda. It's about Luciferians in every country. Well, anyway. So in 1966, that was a rabbit trail. In 1966, in August of 1966, the State Department issued a pamphlet entitled "Private Boycotts versus National Interest." And it stated the following, quote, "All American citizens should know that any American businessman who chooses to engage in peaceful trade with the Soviet Union or Eastern European countries and to sell the goods he buys is acting within his rights and is following the policy of his government." But any organization, however patriotic in intentions, that undertakes to boycott, blacklist, or otherwise penalize or attack any American business for engaging in peaceful trade with Eastern Europe countries of the Soviet Union is acting against the interests of the United States. Unquote. State Department pamphlet dated 1966, August. Private boycotts versus national interest. If you can get a copy, go find it. So, Anthony Sutton said that the guns, ammunition, weapons, transportation systems that killed Americans in Vietnam came from American subsidized economy of the Soviet Union. Again, as in Korea, the Soviet Union served as a conduit for American businesses to profit. We're talking Rockefellers, we're talking DuPont, we're talking Reynolds, we're talking a whole lot of the Illuminati. Shall I be more specific? I don't have their addresses. Sorry. Now, here comes the worst part of it. And nothing stopped. It has, even in Afghanistan today, it's the same agenda. Anyway, as a result of that pamphlet, specifically, in 1966, soon after that pamphlet, One of the most tragic sales to the Russian government occurred in 1966. The United States government sent the Soviet Union the entire technical specifications which they needed to build a glycerol plant in Russia. Now, some of y'all don't know what glycerol is. It has many uses. But for then, glycerol was used by the Viet Cong against our troops as a detonator in booby traps. Because 50 of the 55,000 troops of American casualties suffered in Vietnam came from booby traps. It's not about the government. It's about the Vatican. Not so much about the Vatican. The Vatican is controlled by the Illuminati. German, Roman, Italian, Illuminati insiders I've named before. John Coleman named them. That's where I got my research. And Fritz Springmeier. And I checked up on them. And now you're hearing the Farnese, the Chagi, the Borgia. Not Jews. Jews didn't come into this conspiracy till 1782. Gulf War is no better. 1993. That's where they started further deterioration of our government, of our soldiers. Because this is a Luciferian conspiracy. So when I discovered that 1966 was so significant and they remembered about this policy that they set up, the glycerol, it all came together after the death of JFK. And my epiphany was this, very simply. The nation was following its leader in a benevolent way, and that's why they killed Kennedy. Now, I'm ticked off. Just a tad bit. But all these dates and times and all this comes right together with this Luciferian agenda. Secret societies that's lying to their own members. Because they think they can beat God at his own game. Now that's some kind of dumb. You can use makeup to get, but it don't work on stupid. And that's what they are. If they think they can beat the Savior, if they think they can beat God, man, they got a ways to go. And it sure ain't up. It's all the way straight down. And there's not a darn thing they can do about it except each individual that's involved to renounce the blood oath. Get out of there before their minds have put over to a reprobate mind and they're being deluded, because God will give them delusion that they will believe a lie, that they will not be saved. He will not allow them to be saved. That's in the scripture. And would heed to them to pay particular attention to that, they don't go too far, that they will be given a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, turned over to reprobate mind. And that means that God will not allow them to become born again. That's solemn. That's horrific. Family, you don't wish anyone, the worst of them, humans, you don't wish any of them to go to hell. I don't care how bad they are. Family, y'all don't, some people don't understand what hell's all about. I've heard people say, well, I hope they'll go to hell, you know, and you can say it all you want, but you don't have any, people say that, they have no, absolutely no conception, not one iota of what hell's all about. They have no idea. An eternity is kind of a long time to be an unbelievable torment. It's not fear-mongering. This is warning. You don't want, even for the worst of them. Well, now if I get to Hebrews 4 today, I'm going to try to. Tonight, Bible study. Talk about, spiritual warfare. And I do want to remind you that we are played up in highportradio.net, highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, emails highportradio@yahoo.com, highportradio@yahoo.com. Also, we're played at Blue Raven Network, KBLU Radio. Monday nights, 8 to 10, RevelationRadioNetwork.org. We're played there as well, but it's live. Monday nights only. My website is, I'm going to focus on my website now. I got my broadcast working, and I'm able to now do a, what to call a copy paste, a link to my email and send it out to everybody that don't make it to the broadcast without having to upload like, you know, 23 million gigabytes, something, whatever, I don't know. It just takes forever to do it. But now I've got to do, storage somewhere, and then I do a code, A-R-E-F or something other, and I plug in the title and it links up to the storage. So all I got to do is send the link, and there you go. So I'm going to use that from now on. I'm learning this stuff. And the website now I'm going to start working on, trying to figure out. I don't trust web designers no more. I quit trusting them, quite frankly. Parents, you know, as parents have lost control of the children, I'm sorry, you have. Sports, TV, weather, wrestling, video games, Wiccan, it all have become the substitutes of parents that's working. I can't help it, I know. That's how it's been organized. Therefore, the tattoos, the bad sports behavior, all that is becoming the norm. Notice that. Back in the days, the 60s and 70s, the sports were like good old guys. You know, they're humble and they're, you know, your Bart Starr guys, and they adhered to principles and good sportsmanship and all that sort of thing. Things have kind of changed, aren't they? On the news and TV, it's showing bad sportsmanship and norm. Show them on TV eating Rice Krispies or something. Or they show them with funny looking faces and they got them in commercials and all this and dramatic areas and Luciferian agenda and all kinds of stuff going on. They're showing how they're getting married, and they're murdering and all kinds of stuff. Tattoos and all that. The tattoos, you know what they're doing that for? Because the RFID is not a chip that's going to be implanted by a syringe. It's a tattoo. And they're getting ready for it. That's why all the tattoos. People don't understand this. They always prepare the population. It's all part of blood games that's listed under the Iron Mountain Report Commission of how to control a country in the times of peace. It was planned in 1966. Whoa. Oh, there's that date again. Because LBJ said, top secret, the Iron Mountain Report. Somebody snuck it out and it achieved national status. Lewin had to write a retraction, but it didn't work. Now they just say, well, it's just a fraud, fake fraud. The big thing today, oh yeah, we got, I didn't talk about the news, have I? Oh, let's go over that. How's about that? Then we'll talk about Hebrews 4. I'm going to let y'all know. When y'all start telling the truth and upsetting your tithing, truth about tithing and the truth about the Sabbath and exposing these churches for what they really are, boy, you're going to get heat from Jesuits and the religious side. Let me tell you what, they're going to come at you both tooth and nail. And I've been exposing it as much as I can. Your so-called, these holidays, they're all pagan. Family, all of them. You see, Jesus Christ, when you take him as your Savior, is inside you. You know, I've talked about this dozens of times. There's no holy day. There's no holy days. There's no cross for a graven image. You don't need days, holy days, Sabbath, any of that, because Jesus Christ fulfilled it. Now, before that, yeah, you had the feasts and all that stuff, you know, except the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that's pretty significant. That's yet to come. That's talked about in the Scripture as Revelation. But that's it. You see, because all that was to establish a routine, establish a form of worship that they didn't have. But when Jesus Christ rose again, he said, finished. That took it all away. He became the sacrifice. He became the fulfillment of the tithing and the Sabbath. Now you've got, I really can't tell you who these people are, whether it's in, Jesuits, Christian Identity, Zionists, fake Jews, Luciferians, I have no idea. Your Sacred Name Movement people, Hebrew Roots, all this, these people who try to keep up with the tithing and say it's still in the Bible. It's not. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. Now, what they do is they'll use Hebrews 4 as the comeback, because what it says. Now, before I go there, I want to take a check here. All right, you got the Constitution check. Supreme Court already settled the fate of gay marriage bans. That's the gay marriage thing coming up. They're going to sue Utah because they're trying to keep the gay marriage ban there. But this is a trick they're playing. This is a part of their game. So if they can sue, you see, they can make it standard, mandatory. They got to win the suit, though. So they got to hold back doing it so they can lawsuit, and that's how the little game they're playing. Virginia AG's office says that state's gay marriage ban is unconstitutional. Will no longer defend it. See, they're all falling, by the way. They're going on to it, man. One by one. And then they have an ancient church mosaic with symbol of Jesus in Israel. Oh, man. And you're going to find other books, and you're going to find a secret book found in some kind of library, some, I don't know, whatever, some kind of trash can or some kind of tunnel or something. I don't know what. Or they're going to come up with, oh, we've discovered the DNA of the Shroud of Turin, and it belongs to just other lies. And they're coming up with. A Kenyan author lashes out at anti-gay laws. Quote, I'm gay. He says, I didn't say that. He did. And here's one, boy, that really didn't tickle my fancy at all, but got my attention. Man, you Joint Chief of Staff, what the heck's wrong with you people? Man, what is wrong with you? U.S. military relaxes uniform rules for religious items. The U.S. military is easing its uniform rules to allow religious wear, including turbans, skull caps, beards, tattoos. Muslim, Sheikh, Jewish, Wiccan, soldiers, Marines, sailors, airmen can now request exemption to strict military uniform and grooming policies. It's designed to destroy unit cohesion, just like they bring women to the frontline units and fight side by side by men, hand-to-hand combat. You got to be kidding me. It's complete and absolute communist takeover that's been orchestrated since 1897. Yo, you heard me right. And your Joint Chief of Staff, you're either cowards or you're part of the problem. I just don't understand it. You all know what's going on. Service members request religious accommodation weighed in on a case-by-case basis to ensure they don't impact mission accomplishment, unit cohesion, good order, and discipline. Lieutenant Commander Nate Christensen told BBC, you've got to be kidding me. And they know by bringing women to frontline units into combat situation, they've had massive sexual assaults and not one of the chief of staff, did you all ever jump up and say, we demand this to be stopped? No, you didn't. Pineda lifted the ban. Nobody said a word. Now you see why, and I'm a former U.S. Marine, and I know. This is to destroy U.S. cohesion. Just like I said, it started in the 1960s. This is part of that process. That's my point. And nobody putting it together. Or not. That there's a major agenda to destroy the U.S. military forces. And boy, it's working. Same-sex marriage. Well, 1990s. Remember, Bill Clinton is a Luciferian at the highest order, as is Pat Buchanan. 1993, his role in keeping us busy with Kosovo, with lies they said there about mass graves and all that nonsense, was to keep our attention over there while they, same, don't ask, don't tell. They knew the big, the long-term plan, don't ask, don't tell, bring the homosexuals in the military, knowing very well the straight and homosexual will have a problem. They're not compatible. Hello, anybody got any sense at all? It's just not compatible. That's the way it works. It don't work so well in the showers. In the same rooms. Well, I think they did. That's why Billy Bob Carter brought them in. Later, once they get used to it, and don't ask, don't tell, they kept it in the closet. So when you're kept in the closet and you want to be homosexual really bad, that's like a bondage situation. They know that. So Obama's role, as he's ordered to, he's nothing but a little mere puppet, just like Bush and all the rest of them, FDR, the whole lot of them. It's okay now. Obama, now it's time to bring him out of the closet. And that's what he did, just as he's planned. Between 1993 and Obama's administration, let it get used to it, get them in, boom. And that's the purpose, and it worked perfectly. Marines getting out, Marines being harassed, shower room was not like it used to be. And that's the same purpose of it. And you Joint Chief of Staff are just sitting there, allowing it to happen. You are the traitors. You're the ones forming in the Civil War. You're the ones that's following your friend Lucifer. And the blood oath you took at the Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, and given your allegiance to the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church. That's going to backstab you, by the way. Oh, yeah. Article 15 of the protocols, learned of the design. They're going to kill every one of you. Once they have total control, the Great White Brotherhood will start the execution of all Freemasons. Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta will die. Look it up on your own, and you'll find it to be true. It will happen, but only when they have total control. They murdered Pat Tillman because he was against the war in Iraq. They could not allow someone of credibility to come back and start campaigning against the war. He'd have been a powerful voice of the CIA, murdered Pat Tillman. You see how it works? Yeah, I feel better. Family, that's what's going on. They started the destruction of the family long ago. How? When the Rockefellers funded feminists. All connected. Feminism, and the feminists don't even know this. Diminishing the male role by design. Divorce made it real easy. This is all planned. These are talking points of the Bilderberg Group, of the Club of Rome, of the UN. This is talking points. And they institute programs, sponsors, movements, organizations, right down to the hometown to accomplish these goals. Video games, sports, not out with the boys, public schools, social organizations, marriage, same-sex, dinner as a family, all that's taking place. Scattered here and there. Worship, family don't attend church together. No family prayer time. Changing women's clothing, pants suits. Mother works, children in daycare. Father works. No longer head of household, is he? No, the role is diminished. This is designed. Ruth Bader Ginsburg submitted a report to Civil Rights Administration. Where is it? Actually, I got a copy of it. I can tell you right now in a minute. Exactly the report that she submitted that covered this. Actually, she did. I'm not giving a speculation. I'm telling you what they actually have set up in their agenda items behind closed doors. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg based her report on the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights and previous court opinions. And you'll find it. If you want to find that report. In Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the title of it is Sex Bias in the U.S. Code, a report for the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, April 1977. In that report, one thing was draft women in the military, 77, and assign them to combat duty and apply affirmative action to the armed forces in order to equalize the number of men and women, and that was specifically to eliminate traditional feminine roles. Been doing this ever since. And about last year, in June, July, Panetta answered the call when he lifted the ban. Family, I'm telling you exactly what's happening. International Rights of the Child, to give rights to your children that you can't control them, and they will. That was run by Hillary Clinton, but the Americans didn't sign it, so the Congress wasn't prepared properly. And they failed, but they're going to try it again. This is all organized and planned. Military service, both parents are missing. Child raised by grandparents. More attention in the home. Drugs, all this is by design. Not accidental. It's not a sociological process happening by circumstances. No, this is organized, orchestrated, and put forth and the people don't even know. Well, let's get to one of their pet peeves. We got 15 minutes to go. And one of them, and I probably won't get the whole thing today, but is there is no 10% tithing. The scripture clearly says, you give according to how your heart feels, the Holy Spirit to tell you. The 10% tithing was strictly for the Jews of the Old Testament, to give them a guidance, what they should do. Jesus Christ fulfilled that requirement. And his death on the cross. He is the Sabbath rest, the fourth commandment. So what they come at you with is Hebrews 4. Now, in Hebrews 4, 15 minutes to go. Y'all taking notes? I tell you, sometimes, I don't know, I talk a little fast, I guess, but this is really a stickler for most all the churches. Doesn't matter what denomination it is. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us and entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we have believed to do enter into rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's important. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. It's the Old Testament. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. That's important. Hebrew 4:6. Again, he limits a certain day, saying, David, today, after so long a time, as it said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 4:8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would be not afterwards have spoken of another day. It's not rest like we're going to rest today. It's rest in knowing his power is there to save you. Hebrews 4:9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Hebrews 4:10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. You can't make heaven by your works. It's not talking about a day of rest, a Sabbath day at all. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That's confidence. Rest, confidence, and you'll be saved. But let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall under the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, it was unbelief that kept the rebellious children out of the promised land. It was disobedience that kept Moses out of the promised land. It's unbelief that keeps man out of God's inheritance in every dispensation. And there is dispensation. These people that say no, I just say, okay, I move on because they have no idea. The moral is clear. Beware of the evil heart of unbelief. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not today. That was when Jesus was on earth and things he did, they said it was of Satan. That's blasphemy. But today, the equivalent to blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is unbelief. It's the equivalent today. It's the only sin that cannot be forgiven. So those coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, you think you cannot forgive for what you've done. That what you've done has been put upon you, as I've talked about the past 2 hours, hour and a half, by design. Don't let them do it to you again. Forgive yourself. Take Jesus as Savior. Let your tears flow. But don't let them keep you from heaven. And don't let them keep you down. Because the Joint Chief of Staff are nothing but evil. They're not on your side. The Boykin, Stubblebine, all these guys are Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, whatever else. They're against you. And they're lying to the militia. Because they've taken a blood oath against mankind. But Hebrews 4, the verses form actually a very difficult passage you might find, because there's little agreement among commentators, those that I found, as the flow of the argument. But the overall teaching of it is pretty clear. The theme of Hebrews 4, 1 through 13, is God's rest and the need of diligence in reaching it. It's helpful, I guess, for us to, if you kind of notice the different, several kinds of rest that are mentioned in the Bible. That's where people miss it. You see, God did rest after the sixth day. Now, you don't get tired. He was just finished. He rested the sixth day after creation, Genesis 2, verse 2. And that rest did not indicate any kind of weariness or tiredness as a result of working hard, but rather satisfaction with the work that he had actually completed. He said, it's good. That satisfaction. It was a rest of complacency. You'll find that in Genesis 1, verse 31. Now, God's rest was actually interrupted by the entrance of sin into the world. Everything was perfect then. But then again, he knew it was coming, but he had to give mankind free will and the fallen angels, and the angels free will, knowing very well they were going to go back on it. but it still gave them the opportunity. And you know, since that time, God's been working without ceasing, unfortunately, so is Satan. But Satan can't do no more than what God will allow. You know, Jesus said in John 5:17, my Father's been working until now, and I've been working. Because Jesus, God the Father, Holy Spirit are all the same. 1 John 5:7. Then the other rest, Cana, was intended to be a land of rest for the children of Israel. You see. See, a lot of them never entered the land. And those who did, they failed to find the rest that God intended for them. They didn't find it. Cana, here, is another kind of rest. It's a kind of a picture of God's final eternal rest. Another sample. Those who fail to reach it, reach Cana, is Kara, Dothan, and Abiram. There's just three examples. Kind of like the present day apostates. They fail to reach God's rest because of their unbelief. When you become born again, you can rest to know that you're saved. There's your rest. Now, if you say, well, I'm born again, but I can't really rest on it until Sunday, it doesn't make any sense. Also, believers today, they enjoy a rest of conscience. They, kind of another way of saying it, that the penalty for their sins, for our sins, have been paid through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the rest that he promised. He said, Matthew 11:28, right there you go, to counter their argument about using Hebrews 4, that there is a seventh-day Sabbath. He'll lose. Because Matthew 11:28 says, come to me and I will give you rest. He doesn't say there, come to me and I'll give you rest on the seventh day. Oh, they'll fight you tooth and nail about this. And you know, also the believer, you'll have a rest in serving the Lord by works, but by serving him. Because you want to. And that preceding is a rest of salvation. It's a rest of service. He says in Matthew 11:29, next verse, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. That's another kind of rest. So their argument using Hebrew 4 falls flat. And you know, there's even one more, I believe, you might could use. About eternal rest. And that waits the believer in the Father's house in heaven. And that future rest. Also called the Sabbath rest in Hebrews 4:9. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. It's the final rest. Which all the others are other either types or foretastes or whatever. And this rest is a principal subject of Hebrews 4:1-13. Not what they like to say, to use this corruptibly. Is that a word? I'll just make that up. You got the idea. But they corrupt the explanation by saying, well, Hebrews 4, and they'll say, well, there's seventh day rest, see there? And expect you to. You know what they'll do first, though? They'll make friends with you. They'll give you all kinds of garbage and stuff and all this and all that and blow their horn, toot their horn and make friends and all this and all that going on. And when finally think they get, they go in for the kill. What's the kill? To lie to you or pull you into the Jesuit organization, pull you into Seventh-day Adventists or pull you into Hebrew Roots Movement, or pull you into Christian Identity or pull you into whatever movement it is. It'll make a lick of difference. What? They're corrupting the scriptures. Run away. You see, Now, that's the summary. Now, there's more I could talk about on this, but y'all got the idea. The tithing stands the same. It was given to the Jews, 10% tithing. Not today. Not today. Not today at all. Now, it doesn't mean you go back and say, well, I don't have to give anything to anybody. No. You know, the Holy Spirit guides you wherever you go. Let the Holy Spirit guide you wherever you are. Somebody maybe walk up to you. I don't know. That's between you and God. Listen to the Holy Spirit and He'll tell you. I don't know how many people are my regular listeners here today, but I feel like I've kind of reiterated, talked about this more than once, but it keeps coming up again and again and again. And once saved, always saved. Man, that's a really hot subject. Woo-hoo! People get really sore about that one. Let me tell you what. They get all kinds of out of whack with it. But family, it's pretty clear. King James Bible, Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. Bringeth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is entered to the rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest. Lest any man fall after the prime example of unbelief. It's not talking about a Sabbath. In Colossians 2, 16 to 17. There's your slam dunk. Now listen to this carefully. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon. There's your cult. Blood moons that Hagee's talking about. It's all baloney. That book is worthless. Anyway, let me say it again. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. I can't get no clearer than that. It's in the King James Bible. And 17 says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now they'll fight you tooth and nails that you still or disobeying the fourth commandment. They just don't see it. It don't enter the mind. I don't understand it myself. I mean, it's clear right there. That to me was a relief that I found it. But you see, is that you may be walking down the street and some homeless person or somehow, someone with a can or something, or somebody has a problem, whatever. Look, man, I need $5 for dinner, or I just haven't eaten ever. It just touches you, and you just pull out the money, and of course, you got to watch out, too, you know. But anyway, and you give it to them right there on the street and keep walking. That's your test. That's your tithing right there. It's not about church. And the Sabbath, 7 days a week, not one. Not Christmas, not Easter. Family, all those holidays are, in fact, I'm going to talk about Valentine's later and Easter. And Easter is identified in Acts of the King James Bible only as pagan. It's in the King James Bible. It talks about Easter. That's huge. Christmas and Easter is about as pagan as you can get. And it got us placated in thinking it's not. Santa Claus, you got to be kidding me. You can sit on the lap of a Baphomet, and there's in Oklahoma, they got trying to put it up. You sit in his lap. You got to be kidding me. It's there. It's going to be there. Family, we've been fooled. Easter, Groundhog Day, Halloween is a given. Easter, I already said that. Christmas, Columbus Day, all of them. And you know what happens on those days? I can't help this. It's not my fault. I'm telling you. You can get mad at me for telling you if you want to, but don't change the truth. Is that they murder children on those nights during certain days to open up portals. and possession. This is what happens. There is where your million children go every year, among other things, worldwide, on these days. So we're giving out gifts and having parties, and they're murdering children the same night. I got a problem with that. And they're about praying about the coming back republic and the patriarch and all this blah, 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 because patriotism, the cross, all these idols are that, just that. They're idols, keeping us busy. I pray for Jesus Christ to come back. If he wants to bring back the republic, that's his business. I want Jesus Christ back here. That's what I pray for his return. You see, that's the big picture. That ain't the small stuff, red, white, and blue, and all that, I don't know, whatever. Family, we've been murdering and killing since the day this country was born under the Luciferian objectives. It's a fact. And I've proven it already today and every day I talk. Doggone it. I pray for the return of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And his kingdom to be set up. But for his return, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. No pun intended. Especially in the sixth seal. It's going to come. I pray for it to come now. Because right now, your Ron Pauls and all these others aren't talking about the child sacrifice that's going on up there. They're not talking about closing down Bohemian Grove. They're not talking about taking all the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus out of there and taking the judges nationwide and those that are Freemasons on the bench, taking them out for the bench. They ain't talking about that now, are they? No, but they better start, because I know for a fact that the Illuminati are going to do it. And I'm trying to warn the Freemasons, man, get out of there. Seek Jesus. I'm not anti-Mason. No, that's ridiculous. I'm trying to warn them what's really going on. And protect their families. And the Freemasons will eat their own. You heard me. That's why the Blood Oath's all about, to keep all secret stuff. They start telling the secrets, they will kill them. Especially those that know the royal secret. Sodomizing and all this at the 33rd degree. Oh, the Pentagon? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Family, we come to the end of the program. I guess I said a lot today. I got Hebrews 4 out of the way, and that's the trick there. Oh, they'll stick with it. People are like rubber bands stretched out. They just pop right back in place. They just won't see it. You give them these scriptures, it goes pew, right over their head, man. Shoom, right over, just like that. They don't see it. That's what the tribulation's all about. That's going to get a whole lot of people's attention. That you can count on. That's going to shake people up. There ain't going to be no harp left. You ain't going to worry about mind control. It won't be there anymore. Every knee will bow before the Savior. When he comes back, there ain't no saying, wait. You better not wait. You better not wait. You better take Jesus Christ as your Savior now. Stop going to the lodge. When you get home, if you got to cry, you got to cry. Go with it. Go with it. And repent of taking that blood oath against God. Repent. Repent. And bring your family back under God's control through the Holy Spirit. Tell that preacher, stop using the NIV. Trash. Bring the King James Bible and show him the missing verses. Challenge him in Bible study. Can y'all look up this verse for me? I can't find it. I don't understand it. Can y'all explain it to me? And watch them thumb through their Bibles and their NIVs. They won't find that verse. And you say, oh, do y'all can't find the verse? Oh, well, let me read it for you. That's all you need to do. They said, well, why don't I have it in my Bible? The questions begin. You can't stop that. They can't. You can't, you know, that's where it works too. I know it works. Just sit back and kind of smirk if you want to. But at least you've got a cross that their Bibles are inadequate. The King James Bible has every verse you need because they got all of them there. And they're numbered. The ones in the other Bibles are not, they're missing. Man, they're not there. They're gone. You can't argue that point. One's there, one's not. In this discussion. Missing 64,000 words. New King James Bible, missing 100,000 words. Take 100,000 words out of a computer program, see what you get. Take one out, see what you get. One missing word out of the King James Bible spoils the whole thing. Family, get back with the Word of God. You got people out there saying, God this, God that, like Quell and Leal and Dwarzuli and Dizdar. These guys are pretending to be Christian. They ain't at all. No way, no how. Because when you support the Vatican and you support the Apocrypha, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. It's impossible. Now, I'm going to start coming up with the age of deception. And I'm going to start writing on it, talking about it. Will the real Jesus please stand up? Pagan holidays, the Sabbath, the tithing, the so-called aliens, ascended masters, and talk about the truth of the King James Bible and this fraudulent Book of Enoch and the other Gnostics. Book of Enoch was never written by Enoch. People trying to push it in your face because it's going to take the place of the Bible when the disclosure happens. Oh, they're tricky. Very tricky they are. Enoch is accepted by Muslims, Christians, atheists, ascended masters, and probably Elmer Fudd's family too. Who knows? But it's accepted by everybody. But the King James Bible's not. You wonder why? Because that Bible brings the Holy Spirit to your heart and it convicts you. Family, everything we've been taught is a lie. That's okay. It's happened. Now, pull your bootstraps up and let's get to work. If you want to be depressed and all that, okay, take 10 seconds. Okay, let's play depressed. 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, you're done with depression? Now, let's get moving on and get your bootstraps up and let's get with the truth. Because you're going to need it when these times come around. And you're going to have resistance. Woo-hoo, let me tell you. And God tells you about it. Matthew 5, 33, 37. I'm sorry, my mistake. Matthew 10, 33 to 37. Families are going to be divided. The Bible forbids blood oaths of any kind. And they're not idle words. Every word we speak, God will hold us accountable. And he's within you. Uh-oh, you can't hide from that. There's no tree you can hide behind. You can't go to Costa Rica. You can't go to the Ozarks. You can't even go to the South Pole. All you're going to do there is get cold. He'll be with you wherever you go. Wherever you are, 24/7. Family, seek Jesus Christ, because that's coming round. You don't know when your time goes. This is serious. It's eternal. Family, I got to go. Y'all have a great night. And know that Jesus Christ lives within you. But you got to take him as your Savior. Repent of your sins. He came to us first. Now we got to go to him. He's calling for you in a loud voice. You got to roll that stone away from your heart and let him come on inside. And just going to church, doing good deeds, it don't get it. Not in the least bit. Going to church on a holy day once a week or once a year, don't get it. Jesus Christ is that Sabbath rest. Jesus Christ is that tithe. He'll tell you, give $5 here, give 20 of that, oh, poor man, whatever. That's between you and God, nobody else. He knows what you do in secret. Tonight, 7:30, Bible study, spiritual warfare, and whatever else comes out of my mouth. We'll move right along. 7:30 to 9. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock, wow, Friday, wow, 4 o'clock broadcast. Here we go, hit the ground running. I ain't stopping. I got my network, and I'm going to move right along with it. I'm a little slower than normal because I don't have this technology, but I'm learning it. Step by step, inch by inch. Anyway, what I don't know, I improvise. Until the time comes, you can't do it anymore, and then we go the next step. Yeah, I mean, just one after the other. I say, bring it on, baby. Let's get it going. That's why I look at it. Because I know the Savior's coming back. If I get old and froggy, and I end up in a rest home, then I'll start running doggone wheelchair races. We'll do something until the day my soul hits seven. I'm going to keep talking, keep moving, keep moving. There you go. You see? Y'all have a good night. And those who want to come to Bible study tonight, be here at 7:30 and 4 o'clock. And know that we are played up at Radio HighPointRadio.net. John Kirkler, his email, HighPointRadio@Yahoo.com. My website is WatchmanForJesus.com. And I'm going to start putting some more studies there and writing some stuff now. I think I can start doing that a little bit now. I got an idea. And the Facebook I start using, and I just hope to get the word out. And we also, excuse me, played at KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, Monday nights, RevelationRadioNetwork.org, 8 to 10, Monday nights. Y'all have a great night. And God bless. He won on the cross of Calvary. The war has been won. We're just counting the casualties is all we're doing. They've lost and wouldn't have tried so much control. But pray for them too. Good night and God bless.
It's gonna be a
and that's not the one I wanted to play. Not at all. I ain't starting back again. And away we go. I got fired up today, didn't I? See y'all tomorrow.
The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. And may the light of the Lord shine your way. See y'all later. 7:30 tonight. Be there. Be square. Good night.